and via All Igniting Change with Barbara Onwine, platforms by host Barbara Onwine Esquire, guests, and supporters are their own and are independent of any organization, entity. Nothing said on the show or any of its platforms constitutes a client-attorney relationship or serves as legal advice, counsel. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Igniting Change, its platforms, or the show's host. It's time now for Igniting Change, a weekly provocative and empowering program where you, the listener, can ignite change. Now here's your host, Barbara Onwine. Get up, stand up.
Good afternoon. Welcome, everyone, to Igniting Change. Oh, we got a great show for you because we are reprising last night's National Teletown Hall on We Will Rise, right? Oh, we got a great show. We are so excited about all the guests who are going to return to bring a word to you today about some of the amazing insights they provided last night. We want to give out a big shout to everybody who participated, who watched on YouTube, who watched on Facebook, who joined us by Zoom. We want to thank you all, but you know that show was moderated by my mighty co-host. He is, of course, one of the country's most foremost civil rights lawyers and voting rights experts. Oh, he is one of the most dynamic lawyers in our country, standing side by side with the Ahmaud Arbery family as we do every year. He is the chair of the board of the Transformative Justice Coalition. I'm talking about none other than attorney Daryl D. Jones. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Barbara, it must be Tuesday, must be noon Eastern Standard Time, because we're talking about igniting change. But my goodness, Barbara, last night's Teletown Hall, the National Teletown Hall that we held was just incredible. You know, if you missed it, you want to go to YouTube or tjcoalition.org and hit the replay so you can watch the brilliance that was just brought out, the information that was shared, the strategies that were laid out. Just a wonderful, wonderful town hall. And I tell you, Barbara, you know, for folks that will hear a piece of it, you know, during this hour, during this show, they really are in store for a treat because there's just so many nuggets of knowledge that were laid out for people to take away and be able to prepare for 2025 and 2026 and what's coming next, Barbara.
Absolutely, Daryl. And you were brilliant as moderator last night. We're so proud of all of the great work that you do and that all our staff does to make sure that we are reaching out to the public. You know, last night's program was entitled We Will Rise, Shaping a Winning Agenda for 2025-26. Now, you notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say we're going to give up. We're going to get into bed and never get out. It doesn't say none of that. It says shaping a winning agenda, not just any old agenda, but a winning agenda, an agenda that will make a difference for people. And we said shaping a winning agenda for 2025, 2026 in the face of adversity, because we have yet again a hostile federal administration that will be coming into power in January after the inauguration on January 20th. Yes, all this stuff about them running people up and down and meeting with foreign leaders. Come on, folks. None of that makes any difference yet until somebody's actually in power and in office. And right now, Joe Biden is in office. And we've been calling on him to do the right thing in these last couple of weeks that he has left this month. We've been saying, please do the right clemencies. Give that pardon to Marilyn Mosby. Give that pardon to Corrine Brown. Give that pardon to Jesse Jackson Jr. And so there's work for him to do. He needs to do preemptive pardons so that we don't spend all our time defending people, because we know the nature of the beast that's coming into power and how they love to retaliate against their, quote, enemies, including people who are just trying to, implement our Constitution. So with that said, Daryl, we need to start introducing our guests, because we have some amazing guests. We're going to find out who's here because we don't know who's all joined yet, but we have some amazing guests. First of all, I want to see if Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison has joined us yet. Okay. Also, we have Dr. Kimberly Crenshaw will be participating on today's program. Dr. Crenshaw, are you there?
I am here, Barbara Online. So good to be back.
All right. Ooh, you were great last night. Woo! Get it all the way out of that ballpark. Okay. And also joining us, who was not on the panel, but is, of course, you know, one of our amazing leaders of Transformative Justice Coalition, former head, folks, listen to me, former head of the National Organization for Women, and now, as we all know it, and she is one of the, you know, leading voices in this fight for justice. You know I'm talking about none other than Terry O'Neill. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Barbara. It's great to hear your voice. It's just such an honor for me to be on this panel with all these amazing people.
Okay, and let me see, has Dr. Kyra Wilt joined us yet? Okay, the other person is Jonah Minkoff-Zern. Hey, Jonah, from Public Citizen, are you there?
Hey, Barbara, thanks so much for having me.
All right. Well, you know, if other people join, we will, you know, pick them up, and Stanley, our engineer, will let us know. But we know what it's like to juggle, you know, your calendars, especially at this time of the year when everybody is trying to travel, trying to take care of family, trying to do a thousand things at once, as we also get ready for an administration that every day comes up with some kind of shocker to make us, you know, so disappointed in this incoming administration, as it, you know, basically comes with an anti-progress, you know, agenda. So the first question that we wanted to ask everyone, because all of you were either panelists last night or, like Terry, you watched the whole show and was making commentary on the chats for the various places. What to you was the highlight of last night's program? What was the one thing you learned that was new? The one thing that really caught your attention, or just, you know, after the show was over, you said, I think I got to work on that harder. Let's start with Dr. Kimberly Crenshaw. You know, you were there. You helped us on the show. What was your highlight from last night?
Well, Barbara, I think the highlight was the recognition that there is still fight. We are determined to do so. You know, we heard about the efforts to really try to identify those nominees that we think we might be able to organize to defeat. And I thought the rationale, the explanation, and the possibility that were the many possibilities that were spelled out for at that point were actually encouraging. You know, I'd go into it thinking, of course, I'm going to fight until my dying breath, but also having a sense that there are other people who are feeling that too. People are waking up, you know, after, you know, the shock of what happened in November. People are coming together. There is space. There is willingness. There is commitment. As I said last night, the only guarantee that we lose is if we don't fight. And more and more people are coming around to, okay, time to get busy. And that brought me to a higher level last night, just being with other people who felt exactly that and had a way forward.
Wow. Thank you. And Jonah, what was it for you? You know, you're in the middle of you're like in the belly of the beast during this battle, working with all these groups, getting hundreds of events planned, you know, helping people to figure out their way through this. What was the highlight for you of last night's Teletown Hall?
Well, it's just an honor to be thinking about intersectionality with Dr. Grenshaw. I think, you know, that was powerful for me to just an honor to be on a call with her and having that conversation. So I, you know, first of all, that was really notable for me to think about, you know, how we engage in our personal identity and identity politics as a way to build unity and moving forward was a really powerful part of, and significant part of the conversation that made me think. And I agree with her that our path forward is to take on the fights we can win right now and the fights that we need to have, even if we can't win. And I think some of the nominees really are fights we can win and very much worth having to build in the public dialogue and talk about Patel and some of the other ones and how, you know, they are really what they're trying to do is set up a force to protect the wealthy elites against the rest of us and protect their own personal interests and not look out for the interests of all of us.
Absolutely. And they're also bringing up, you know, and reinstituting exclusionary politics, right? You know, it's no accent. There's not a one black woman on this cabinet. Probably that's a good thing that they couldn't find a black woman who shared these crazy MAGA views enough. I think it's telling that there's no other missing people, but also they're launching this DEI war. You know, that they're, you know, against, you know, trying to, you know, dismantle, quote, DEI and blacklist people from being employed who have, you know, been involved in civil rights and other events. I mean, there is this new politic of exclusion. We don't want black folks. We just saw the headlines today, people out of Harvard Law School. Guess what? The African-American mm-hmm. population in Harvard Law School's entering class dropped by half, 50%. This is what they want. This is what we're against. This is why we fight in this moment. Terry O'Neill, I got to call on you because you have been in the front lines. You've been talking to white women about what they need to do and how they show up at this moment. Well, for you last night, as you were watching the show and interacting with others who were watching, what for you last night was the highlight of the program?
Honestly, Barbara, what really struck me was the level of energy, the level of positive, forward-looking, determined energy to really get back in the fight. I mean, you know, a lot of people had to take a step back and process and all of that. But yeah, absolutely, that struck me really strongly. And I will tell you that, you know, from where I sit here in Nashville, Tennessee, I think the way forward is it's a very painstaking way forward, but it has to come through developing relationships with, in my case, white women, people who look like me, who I would not necessarily reach out to on my own, right? And I'm not talking about hardcore MAGA, you know, extremists. I'm just talking about many white women who stayed home because they would not vote for a black woman. Many white women who stayed home because they believe that the Republican economic agenda is what saves them because they see their economic welfare, their financial welfare as tied to the welfare of the white men in their families. And so my effort right now is simply to begin the process of building bridges to white people, but especially white women, and really get them thinking about how they vote, why they vote the way they do. This is since 1980, I think, a majority of white women have voted for the Republican for president every single time. And you know, I can't believe I'm coming so late to the effort of reaching out to these white women and saying, hey, come on, you know, I keep waiting for it. Well, they'll vote for Barack Obama in 2008 or 2012. No. Surely they'll vote for Joe Biden in 2020. No. Surely they'll vote for the reproductive rights champion, Kamala Harris, in 2024, no. So it's not about who the candidate is. It's about where these voters are. And my effort is actually, you know, building. I'm working with grassroots organizations here to build those kinds of bridges.
Thank you, Daryl.
And you know, Professor Crenshaw, one of my one of the highlights for me, and I'd love to have your feedback on it because you are the middle of this storm, is when we were talking about the 92% of black women that voted, and that, you know, it almost seemed as though they were being pushed to the side and asked.